Lucy, I'm home.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I'm your host, Siva.
And I'm Erica.
And today we're going to be talking about Gary Morton and Edith Hirsch.
The lesser known spouses.
Yes. So I posted a while ago about the lesser known spouses, and I asked if anyone wanted to hear about them. And I asked that before I knew how much of a challenge it was going to be for us. But people said yes, so we're
here. We are
somewhat deliberate. We say that because it seems as if they didn't exist. They just appeared out of thin air to marry Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz, and
that's seriously,
they didn't exist before then. Guys, they obviously did.
Yeah,
they obviously did. But it's very hard to find a whole lot of information about them. We will give you what we found. But
yeah, what's interesting, I think you probably had the same situation, is whenever you look up information, it's all connected to these two, to Lucy mm-hmm. and Desi, which is fine because it works for us. But we'd like to know a little more about these people, because I'm sure
on their own.
Yeah.
Yes.
Own, they had, you know, a life before, because they married late in life. Both, you know, all four of these people, you know, were all of a particular age. So they had, you know, lives before meeting them. But we'll get into that.
A big part of with Edith Hirsch, at least, is that she was not famous.
Right. Private person.
When we were talking about it, I said she was a no one, which didn't fit real right, because she was. But in that time, you know, to have your history recorded and really mm-hmm. documented like that, you kind of had to be famous, a celebrity in the spotlight. My husband said, you know, she doesn't have a Facebook that we can go stalk and figure out her whole life.
Yeah, that's true.
And like, yeah, we could now. And Gary Morton, even, I mean, he was, for a long time, he was a stand-up comedian. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of those are, you know, they're at places you go and you perform. Right. And it's not really in front of live TV or, you know.
Well, it's not like it was in the movies. It is now, where all the comics have, you know, Netflix specials, you know, selling out stadiums, things like that. And back then, we're talking the 60s, it was just your local comedy club, your local bar, something like that. And, you know, made a name for yourself. Unless you were Lucille Ball.
Anyways, we'll start with Gary Morton. There's a little bit more about him. I found a little bit more on him. He was born in 1924. Anyways, he was born in 1924. He was actually born under a different name.
Yes.
Morton Goldapper.
Goldapper.
Golddapper.
Dapper. I don't see two P's, so I'm guessing it's Daper.
Daper, which Golddapper. Okay. Yeah. He was born Morton Goldapper.
Yes.
In New York City. He was the son of Morris Goldapper and Rose Greenfeld Goldapper. Mm-hmm. And he had a sister, Helen. He started off his career as a stand-up comedian. And I don't know a whole lot. I really couldn't find a whole lot about his early life. You know, with Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz, we were able to talk about when they were children.
Oh, yeah.
Things like that. Mm-hmm. I can't do that for you guys because I don't know. I do know that he got married to Susan Morrow. But maybe I'm jumping ahead a teeny bit. He was on the Ed Sullivan Show in 1948, the Arthur Murray Party in 1950, star of the family in 1950. And then in 1952 is when he met his first wife, Susan Morrow. And she also had a name change. She was born Jacqueline Ann Teresa Bernadette Amour.
That's a lot of names.
Yeah, she was born May 25th, 1931, and she was an American actress.
Okay.
So that was a lot of that. So that's when they started dating. And then he was in I've Got a Secret in 1952. It was a panel game show. So if you're following along, if you know any of these shows, a lot of these shows are like theme variety shows or panel shows. You know, I think we talked about this later on. We'll talk about how he was on Password. It's a game show. So he was on a lot of those types of shows when he wasn't doing stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. In 1953 is when he married Susan Morrow. And then we have a large break that I couldn't find anything between 53 when he married Susan Barrow and 1961 when he started a relationship with Lucille Ball.
Eventually scandalous. It did feel like there was a relationship
with all
amongst
of them.
Everybody.
Yeah. I know that he obviously they were divorced. They separated August 1954. And then in 1957, the marriage was annulled. So they actually didn't have a divorce. They had an annulment, which is interesting.
Yeah, especially because it was a long period of time. I think.
Yeah, I thought that like annulments were
like immediate or, you know, at least very.
Yeah,
close
I thought
in time
they had pretty specific regulations for an annulment. But
well, if I'm not mistaken, not sometimes up. You can do an annulment if your, let's say, next marriage is going to be that of a Catholic church. They require for the first marriage to be annulled. So maybe there's a little bit of that there.
Maybe. But,
yeah.
After he divorced Susan Morrow, he met Lucille Ball in 1961. Now, a little bit about the meeting of, it was very cute, I guess. There was a mutual friend who they were all going to dinner. And I guess he had never, before he met Lucille Ball, he had never seen an I Love Lucy episode.
Now, I've read a few things that were a bit conflicting and perhaps I'm not too sure about. It's that not only did he not watch, but he didn't even know who she was. No, I think
now that can be true,
no,
right?
The bugs in the garden knew who Lucille Ball was during that time. So I think he was probably,
I feel like I could believe
that he didn't watch it because he was busy.
Yes, I could believe that more than I could believe that he didn't know who she was.
Right, right.
But yeah, on the other hand,
yeah, she was performing during Wildcat on Broadway is during the time that they met, you know, and she really had no interest in even dating because she had just finished divorcing Desi, and that kind of gave her a kind of a gun shy attitude about it.
And I do believe, so one of the things I read was that she took to him, or people think she took to him so much because he wasn't starstruck with her. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I can believe that, like, mm-hmm. you know, to that point where you, okay, I know about a celebrity, I know about people, but to say that I know them, like some people can tell me facts about other celebrities that I'm like, I don't care. I don't know. You know, so like maybe that's at his level. He was just like, I knew who Lucille Ball was, but I didn't know. No, you know.
Yeah.
So I guess the story is that during this dinner, he introduced himself and he dipped his tie into her coffee and ruined his tie.
Yeah.
And when he went to shake her hand, that's such a Lucy thing to do. You know, to like dip something in or like, but, and then he, you know, she ended up sending him 3 replacements and he called to thank her and then bada bing, bada boom, they're a couple. Now she should have sent him milk. I don't know if had to bring it around. I don't know if that's a true story. I don't know. Or if it just ended up turning into this cute, like, thing. But I'd like to believe that it was true. And I don't have anyone to tell me it wasn't. So it's a true story. And this is technically where I'm supposed to leave off, right?
Well, you know, we you know.
Because they've met, they've married.
Their marriages. It's like you said, you probably did not have a lot of information, you know, prior to that. And what's interesting is that both Gary Morton and Edith were Desi and Lucy's longer marriages, you know, and of course we have information about Lucy and Desi for ages. Our great-grandchildren will know everything about Lucy and Desi, whereas these yes. two, unfortunately, we don't. But what we have is that Gary was performing in a New York City Copacabana nightclub during, you know, that was his employment at the time, and his popularity was never, you know, bigger than like the local scene or local comedy clubs. So of course, once he attached himself to the superstardom, the blinding superstardom that was Lucille Ball, then, you know, his name became much more known, much more television appearances, as you mentioned, and interviews and things like that. And that just happens with it. It still happens today, you know, and in an unknown, you know, starts dating J-Lo and all of a sudden we all know who he is, you know, despite not having as big a resume as she does. But
even appeared on some of her shows. Yes.
Oh, not only appeared, but was employed as a writer and a, you know, producer alongside.
But here's Lucy. Yeah.
Desi. Yeah. So, you know,
I love these.
After their divorce, they still continue to work together because they worked together so well. Lucy and Desi did. It was just the marriage that was, you know, just the stickler, but working
not so great,
but working together was always, you know, it made television magic. And so they wanted to keep it going with the later Lucy shows. And it's, I think there was an interview I saw with Gary where he said, you know, Desi was my husband-in-law because they were together so often. And he was there, you know,
that's great.
And what's odd is that, you know, then Gary took up the warming up act, before the show started, which is something Desi was famous for doing. Of course, as I was looking up information and watching his openings, I'm like, that's, you know, Desi,
not good. You know. Go away. Send out Desi.
Massive shoes to fill, sir.
And yeah, so it's like one of those things where like you see a show or something with one person and you can't possibly then watch another, like the remake, because you keep thinking of the other person.
Right. And Lucy knew that because, you know, she I saw in the interview, the infamous interview she did with Barbara Walters sitting next to Gary, and she would say, you know, I disappointed millions of people with divorcing Desi because everybody was so invested in this marriage because they thought it was what I Love Lucy was.
What was on the screen, yeah.
What was on the screen. And so at the Lucy and Desi documentary that just came out, you know, Lucy Arnaz said, unfortunately, that shadow always followed Gary and he was almost unseen sometimes because all the world revolved around what Lucy and Desi created. Even his employment later on was part of Desi Lu Productions, which is what Lucy and Desi created. So it was this, you know, interesting. But she really did love what she had with Gary because she felt so much safer and at ease.
Yeah, I think she felt secure in that relationship. You know, she had what she needed in a marital sense, you know, like not saying that Desi didn't provide for her or wasn't a good person, but like that there was just that security and homely warmth, I guess, you know, that being there and, and everything that he could provide, Gary could provide, that wasn't always.
Yeah, Lucy would say, otherwise, you know, with Desi, we had houses. But with Gary, I had a home, which is, you know, what you're always looking for in a marriage, I suppose. And he was 13 years younger than her.
Yeah. I mean, if they thought Desi and her age gap was scandalous, and then
it was only 6 years.
You know, but he's white, so maybe they get a bigger age gap. She married a good old American man, so maybe they've got more leniency. I don't know.
They age differently? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that, you know, they're like, well, it's okay because she married one of us.
Right. Well, and when she married Gary, I don't think, no, granted, racism and all of that still exists, but I'm saying it wasn't as scandalous as when she first married Desi in 1940. You know, it wasn't as intense seeing that, but nonetheless, she married a white guy. And again, when I'm watching these interviews of hers, they were just all her appreciating that she never had to worry. She never had that stress of where did he go? Where is he at? You know, he would naturally just.
Well, he was either at home or golfing.
Home or golfing. Yeah. And what he did was, not only did he take on an ex-husband that's at the caliber of Desi Arnaz, he also took on their children. And it wasn't always easy, because I've seen Lucy Arnaz's interviews where she said, we gave him a hard time because we weren't happy about the divorce. And here's this guy that's just, you know, randomly, you know, marrying mom. And so they, for a while, it was a little hard with the kids.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that you don't say that it should be that way. It's one of those things, though, that sometimes expected. You're like, a new man.
Right.
And the kids didn't pick out the new man, you know, they didn't fall in love with him. I mean, I'm sure they did after a while, but, you know,
so it's definitely for about 11 months before getting married in 1961. And in,
which isn't a whole long time.
Yeah. 40 guests, including, of course, the two kids. And I saw a couple of stories where it said that he took the initiative to make sure he had a prenuptial agreement to show that he wasn't marrying her for the money. And then I also read that it was her idea. So it doesn't matter. The fact of the matter was that he wasn't so much after her money, you know, who she was. And I think she appreciated that. There was a magazine article where they had acquired letters from Gary's future wife after she passed, you know, after Lucy passed. He married a pro golfer, and she had letters that belonged to them, which is a whole other weird part of the story. But in one of the letters, she wrote, "With Gary, I've become a woman with a capacity for happiness again. Boy, did I pick a winner. After 19 years with that Latin lover, I never expected to marry again, but I'm glad that I did." So, you know, any doubt that she was feeling, it kind of went away.
Wait, do you think it's weird that he kept the letters?
No. I think it's weird that the third wife had access to them afterwards, you know.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, I mean, she passed away. It's not like they did. Okay, I get it now.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, because she, I think, I'm not sure if she gave them back to Lucy and Desi Jr. or she sold them at some sort of auction. Because again, when you're looking up this information, you find all kinds of sources with different variations of what happened.
Why I say you never know exactly 100% if that's a true story or not, what
is written.
But I did hear about the letters as well. Yeah. So I hope she gave them back.
Yeah, I think they're in the possession of the kids, but a lot of love letters between both of them, which shows that it was a genuine, I mean, letters are such a lost concept. You know, love letters.
I still write letters, but not love letters. I was like, nowadays, you know, you look at people's text messages.
I think with this marriage, you know, with Gary again, you just have to watch their interviews. I think I saw one with him with Joan Rivers after Lucy had passed for a couple of years, and it was all about speaking of her and I Love Lucy. So their whole world was encapsulated in what I Love Lucy was. So you could never escape.
Yeah.
You had to be a man secure enough to know that that's what, you know, you are. Where Desi,
that was her life, right?
Yes, Desi had a hard time with the concept of being Mr. Ball, where Gary was totally fine with it, you know, because
I do have to say that Desi married not Lucille Ball, but Lucille Ball. You know what I'm saying? He didn't marry,
right?
Whereas Gary knew what he was going into, to a sense. I'm sure he didn't know everything, but like he did know that I'm stepping into this position of being in Lucille Ball's shadow, basically, you know, that she's the head in the sense of being the star.
And there was a time when, as we mentioned, Desi would work on the later Lucy shows as a producer, as, you know, come and help with the writing. There's videos of it in the documentary that shows him, you know, going through scripts, and because she still trusted him. It was just the marriage, the love, romantic part of it that was, you know, devastating, but together they worked so well. While he was working there, it eventually became a little too much because the jealousy did overtake. I mean, you can only be cool about it for so long until, you know, you're seeing your ex-wife there with a new husband. It might do something to your psyche, not wanting to, you know, it became a little too uncomfortable. So then he sold his shares, Desi did, to Lucy. She became the first woman CEO to hold, you know, over the production company. And, you know, he
would make- became vice president. Yeah, she named him vice president.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And so she, you know, Desi would make jokes about Gary on purpose, mispronounce his names, you know, things like that when they were in the company of each other. But they remained married until Lucy died in 1989. And so then he went on to remarry a pro golfer named Susan McAllister. And they were married for a few years, maybe about 3-4 years before he passed away. So
I love how he married a golfer next.
Yeah.
Just because you know how big he is, was into golfing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then, of course, we move on to Desi's second partner, Edith.
It's that one of those things where it is a hard, I'm sure she was an amazing person. I mean, Desi fell in love with her. He won the heart of Desi. You know, and so I think to marry, you know, so I think that, we just can't find a whole lot on her. We know that her name was Edith Mack McSkimming. Mm-hmm. She was born April 15th, 1917 in Illinois, USA. She passed away the 25th of March in 1985. So she actually passed away before Desi, a year before Desi was diagnosed with lung cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm jumping ahead, because there's not a whole lot to talk about. She's American. Her professions, she was a humanitarian. And then under professions, it says humanitarian and celebrity wife.
I guess.
I think I
stumbled upon some of the websites I did that were so generic and what they were writing that could have gone to anyone. That shows how little there was, because everywhere I looked, it was the same four lines as to, you know, when they got married, who she married, and when she died. And it's like, my goodness.
Exactly.
Edith, what were you doing all these years? I must know. I know you were married before.
He was married. He was married to Clement L. Hirsch.
Okay.
Hirsch was an American national born. I can't find when they were married specifically or how long they were married, but they did break up. They got divorced. It's one of those things where it's like, it's not known. We don't know about this. So that's great.
So they married March 2nd, 1963, because this is really what we know about her. And they married at the Sands Hotel and Casino. Now, because I know that Desi and Lucy had properties and businesses out in Palm Springs area, I'm guessing that the Sands Hotel that they're mentioning is the one here in Palm Springs, Indian Wells, because there's two. There's the Las Vegas Sands. And I first thought it was that, but then looking at the location, there's one in Indian Wells where his hotel and things were. So I'm guessing it was out here in Palm Springs. Or it could be the one in Las Vegas. My goodness.
Who knows?
There's two of them. Oh my goodness.
She hadn't yet been born into fame, into her celebrity. She was just being born in the wedding, into the celebrity fame. So,
and
it's a whole different life, right?
Oh my goodness.
I mean, and she didn't even marry just, you know, a celebrity. She married Desi Arnaz, who's like the heartthrob of American women everywhere. You know, maybe not all, but you know what I mean.
So they married on his 46th birthday. She was only a year younger, 45 at the time. And she was also a redhead, you know, mm-hmm. like Lucy.
I read that they thought that they looked quite similar. What do you think?
I do not.
People say that similar. He married her double. And I was like, I don't see it. I don't.
No. But see, here's the problem.
I don't. We'll post a side to side, right?
Let's compare wives.
People will tell us yes or no.
Boy, are we really, really bringing down the women's movements generations. That's what we're doing.
I don't think so. We're not comparing to say like who's better. We're comparing to say if you see the similarities.
Yeah. So, all I know is she's a redhead. All I have are black and white photos. There's some colored ones where they are, you know, at events, maybe Lucy's theatrical performances, Lucy Arnaz's theatrical performances, her wedding, things like that, where the, you know, all four of them are there. So they all got along, and Lucille Ball was very, she very much liked Edith.
Well, the thing was, Lucille Ball and Edith were friends before the marriage.
Oh.
Yeah, they were close friends. You didn't know that, huh?
My face is telling me I know none of this.
You didn't know that.
For more reason, we should have information.
It was one of the, you know, I found a thing that was like, you need to know these five facts about her. And these are the only five facts I can find about her.
Yeah.
And one of them was that they were, in fact, really good friends. And you can see that in a letter in her bio, Love Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, no, it seems like Lucille Ball wrote it because she said that she'd known Edith for years. And she was pleased her former husband married her.
Yes. Because so Lucille Ball wrote that. Great communication when it came to the raising of the children, because she was, of course, involved in their, you know, upbringing of the two kids. And so she was very much happy that this is the woman that he chose to have around her children, you know, because that's always a sticking, mm-hmm. a sticking point. But yeah, what's amazing is that we have 23 years worth of a marriage that we know very little about. At least the public does, you know, of course their family has probably everything,
right?
You know, and even in the documentary where, you know, they
we'll put on the list when we finally get to talk to Lucille Ball, Lucy Arnaz, I mean, so sorry.
I'm sorry. If you figure out a way to
speak, like, well, now I'm not going to talk to you ever.
Yeah. And so I
still say seance it.
There was a, you know, a bit of more access to the Lucy and Desi documentary on Amazon that I assumed they would give more of the, here's a little more about Gary, here's a little more about Edith.
Well, it doesn't say Lucy and Desi and Gary and Edith.
Well, I understand, but it was part of Lucy and Desi. And so I assumed that perhaps they would tell us a little more about the four, you know, the later
couples. I was hoping they would as well.
And so all I got was that she was a redhead. She was a kind, sweet woman. These are all Lucy Arnaz's, you know, words. And made her father happy. And that's what I have. And so she, you know, passed away, or Desi Arnaz passed away from lung cancer about a year after she did. So it wasn't, you know,
he passed too long away after. From
lung cancer,
liver cancer,
lung
cancer as well. We're just, I didn't even know they both died of lung cancer. Hey.
Mm-hmm. And so she was, yeah, she died a year before that. And
smoking
so
is bad, kids.
Yeah, it really is. Well, all that Philip Morris, you know, product placement that really did them in, I think, because there was a lot of smoking.
It was the sign of the times too, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, very
it was
much
like a cool thing. It was just a household thing to be smoking, you know.
Oh, sure. Yes.
Very so, commonplace.
As you know, anyone can see, it's really difficult to find information for these two second spouses. But it's interesting to see that they had such a huge life afterward, after this massive marriage and success and, you know, production of these programs. They went on to marry these two people for much longer than they were married to each other. They both looked happy. And I don't know if you've ever read the book, A Book by Desi Arnaz. He does explain that he was also more at peace. I mean, you have to be, when you have two big stars, I'm sure your life is so tumultuous, not just the romantic part, but the business part and, you know, the money part, and you're running a production company. I can't imagine there was any downtime for just each other. And so the latter spouses got to the benefit of what was built to be able to live in comfort, I think.
Exactly. Yes. So I think they sadly set a groundwork for the second marriages in that first, you know, they built this empire together,
mm-hmm.
and then they realized that they needed to be apart. Yeah. But that building of that, like you said, built that foundation. They didn't have to, they had done a lot of the hard work before the second marriages. Exactly. Yeah. I don't want to say all the struggling, but a lot of it before.
Absolutely. Yes. So yeah, with that's pretty much as limited information as I think we both have on these two second spouses. If you guys have any additional information to give us, I know that there has to be, you know, better historians than we are and have much more details, or just anyone descendants.
You just have the power of Google. Yes.
You know,
Edith or Gary Martin, you know, let us know
if we could speak to someone who was,
we will, if we could listen, if we can get a whole lot of information on both of them, we can do a whole nother episode. If not, we'll post the facts that we do get in like a comment post with our weekly post about this episode.
On Instagram, so, Facebook, Instagram.
Yes.
You can find us at Having a Ball Pod or Having a Ball
Podcast. Nice transition.
On Facebook. Thank you very much. And Having a Ball Pod at gmail.com. If you want to let us know how very little informed we are on the second marriage.
Nicely, please. Thank you.
Thank you. And rate and review. And all that. So thanks, guys.
Wonderful. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.